welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Friday. Sports Talk.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this Friday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Let's talk some sports, you guys. Give us a call, and girls, 718-664-9098, like always, and we will get to some today because people are talking about NBA playoffs, NFL free agency. We'll get to some of your emails. Shoot them at us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Check out our Facebook page. Like us. And check out our website. Pretty cool, pretty interactive. A lot of fun things, photos. You know, Tay out there and Ray out there amongst the people looking smooth, having fun with the sports legends. And check out rayandtaytoday.com. Really cool site. Ray, what are we talking about, man? Are we talking about practice?
Are we talking about practice or are we talking about the game that I love? If you don't know who that is, go back to the archives. The guy's name was Allen Iverson, one of the best players. They say best small players. I'm talking about best all-time players. But no, we're going to get into what's happening right now in the world of sports. We'll go real quick through the Masters. We'll tell you. We'll talk about the leaderboard real fast. We need to give a shout-out and some props to the number one college campus right now, Storrs, Connecticut, home of the women and men's NCAA national champions. We'll talk about that briefly. Then we'll get into some MLB talk. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of Major League Baseball. And then we'll talk about the NBA. The playoffs are heating up. And we'll tell you about the last couple spots, especially in the West. At the top of the
war.
The bottom of the West. Yeah,
very big game tonight. Yeah,
big game tonight, even though both teams are downplaying it. and then we'll get into NFL free agency. So we'll talk about who's been signed, who's still yet to be signed, what kind of free agents are out there, and that'll segue nicely into one of our top five Fridays. We'll be talking about the top five NFL free agents of all time. So we'll go through and give you Ray and Tay's version of the top five free agents. These are players that changed the fortune of their team and shaped the NFL. I mean, this is really, you know, big time free agency.
Yeah, some fans might not know. Free agency has not been around forever. It was just in the 90s, you know, started, and some guys pioneered it, like Reggie White and stuff. So definitely have to jump into it. So what's going on? What's up with this Masters board? Because Bill Haas was leading yesterday, but my main man, Bubba, is doing big things. Is Bubba still leading?
Yeah, your boy Bub, he's doing his thing. Bubba Watson on top of the leaderboard. And then John Senden is tied with
minus
John
7.
Senden.
That's great.
Yeah, and then Thomas Bjorn and Jonas Blixt. So names that, you know, most folks don't know about. But the guy that everybody knows, the old man, Freddie Couples, is next. So pretty unbelievable that Freddie Couples, after the back problems that he had, you know, he's Jim Nance's roommate in college. I mean, Freddie Couples can play on the senior tour. Freddie Couples is doing his thing. And then behind
Where's
Freddie,
Phil, man? Phil's struggling, huh?
Yeah, he's struggling. Behind Freddie Couples, you got Jimmy Walker, Jamie Donaldson, and Jordan Spieth, your boy. So, yeah, Bubba Watson doing his thing. Bubba.
I like Bubba. Bubba, to me, I got to say, if Tiger is not, you know, he's not playing, and, you know, the Masters is a major, and Phil's not doing good, I can't front. I'll tune in for a minute or two, and I'm not a huge golf fan, but I always like to look at a couple of the majors and the Masters. The history is so great, but I'll watch Bubba. I'll watch Bubba. Bubba's fascinating to me. This is a guy, you know, he was not, wasn't taught golf, wasn't trained, you know, didn't take classes and this and that. More
wasn't
self-taught.
Wasn't David Letterman at 3 years old?
Yeah, Bubba. Oh, come on. Bubba's the man of the people. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. And Bubba hit some crazy shots. He's a big boomer, so I like Bubba Watson.
So yeah. So anyway, we'll keep our eye on the Master. We'll probably tune in on Sunday, see what's going on, see who gets the green jacket, and we'll talk about it
on
Monday.
We'll talk about it on Monday.
So yeah, we got our eyes on the Masters for you.
Let's give our props to UConn, though. That was
That
was incredible. Breonna Stewart was amazing as a sophomore, you know, just doing what she did, and UConn women winning again, and just the dominance that I want to say franchise, because this is what college sports is. They're franchises. You know, and you give props to Gino, the head coach. He's amazing. And then Napier and Boatwright, and, you know, we both – thought Kentucky would win, but we are both, our hearts, you know, our minds are with Kentucky, our hearts are with UConn, and UConn did it, man. Kemba, you know, was the spirit of Kemba was alive, and I think what Napier did probably has him a lock in the first round and probably lottery, because he looks like he'd be the best, you know, one of the best point guards in the draft.
Really? I'm not sure. I still think that kid from Australia is going to go number one.
Well, no, he'll go in the top five. I'm talking about
number
in terms
one point
of he'll
guard.
Be, yeah, he'll be the end of the lottery. But I mean, he's going to be anywhere between 13 and 20. Napier, he solidified
well,
a first round
pick. Where
pick.
You put him up against Tyler Ennis from Syracuse? Where you put him up against Marcus Smart? If you project him even to play the point in the pros,
he's sort of
totally
a
different games.
Well, Chad Ford, I think, had him ranked at like 18, and NBA draft.com, they were like, or .net, they had him in, I think, top 20. So it'll be interesting to see. The question I have for you is, what does Daniels do, and what does Boatwright do? Do they come back? Are they draft picks? Do they go out? We know Embiid's gone out. Wiggins is gone out.
I think if you're a late first rounder, you come back to try to become a lottery pick. You don't.
So
have
Ryan Boatwright, should stay. You think he should stay?
I think Boatwright and Daniels should stay. Boatwright gets to show that he can be the lead guy. Daniels
right.
gets to show that he has that versatility to play
and get some more
in
weight.
Pros.
Right.
But, yeah, I think both of them should stay. The other thing that comes to mind, though, with UConn, think about this. The women won their ninth national championship. I mean, that you need to start thinking of Gino Auriemma in John Wooden terms, especially considering there's four or five other programs, Notre Dame,
women's
Stanford,
Tennessee yeah.
that can, you know, really hoop it up. So Auriemma. And second of all, UConn, think about this. The AAC has the last two national championships. So the two teams that were carved out of the Big East and two teams that eventually will be part of other conferences, you know, because Louisville's going to the ACC and then Connecticut's probably not long for this AAC, but two for the AAC in men's college basketball. How crazy is that?
Well, this is the first year of the AAC, so, I mean, you know, you can't give it to them like that, but I agree with you. I mean, it's impressive, you know. I think, to me, I'll be interested to see, you know, what these programs look like next year. I mean, in college hoops, obviously, you know, you see so many guys are going out. The recruiting classes are strong again for Kansas, you know, Arizona, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. So be interested to see, you know, the Wisconsin kids, that program, they, to me, if they come back, I think Wisconsin's going to be a top five team next year. So that, you know, we'll obviously get into college hoops, and we'll see as we talk about the NBA draft who, you know, who all is coming out. But I think that's going to be fascinating to see, you know, the number one kid in the country, you know, or the number two kid is going to announce where he's going, and he's between, like, Texas, Kansas, Duke, and stuff like that. Duke's already got Okafor and, like, four recruits going there. Kansas has four. So, hey, look, college hoops, great season, great tournament. Everybody's brackets were jacked up. I don't think anybody picked UConn over Kentucky.
No, 7 versus 8. No, there were people. I think there were several hundred people that out of 11 million, though, that had Kentucky and UConn playing each other. I think they said 200-300 had it. So they did,
yeah.
But, you know, nobody came close. What was interesting is nobody came close to your boy Warren Buffett and winning his money, because after that, after you got
nobody,
down
Buffett ain't giving
Sweet
up that
16,
dough.
No, but after you gave up the Sweet 16, I mean, after you reached the Sweet 16, nobody had a perfect bracket. I mean, it was just so many upsets.
Definitely. Nah, that's so true. So let's, you know, let's talk a little, it's still spring, you know, it's nice weather in New York, it's a little cloudy out here in Arizona, but warm. We've been in the 90s, you guys hitting over 70 today, and rivalry is a big thing in sports, and guess what? Right now, you got the Yankees in first, Red Sox in last, and American League East, you know, just a game or so apart, but they play this weekend, the 5-5 Yanks against the 4-6 Red Sox. And, you know, everybody in between. So do you think, I guess we've done rivalries before, but just, I think if you just had to say professional sports, Boston Red Sox might be the best rivalry of all sports. And I think it's going to be fun to watch them battle again this weekend in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, well,
early
they
on
started
in the baseball season.
They started last night. Right, it's a four-game set. So they started last night, and there was that little controversy. I don't know if you caught that, but Michael Pineda had pine tar, or what looked like pine tar, on his hands.
Honestly,
and
yeah,
apparently
okay,
they
yeah.
brought it to the attention of the Red Sox and John Farrell, and by the fifth inning, miraculously, he didn't have any pine tar on his hands. So he ended up pitching great.
Well, they're
and
talking about the cold weather, right? Gripping the ball, it's a hard thing.
Yeah, so Pineda is the Yankees, you know, ace in the hole, if you will. If he pitches well, the Yankees have a chance to make the playoffs. Now, you had them making the playoffs. I don't have them making the playoffs. But he pitched well, six innings. Ironically enough, against Boston, it was funny because it's like the pot calling the kettle black, because Clay Buchholz and John Lester both had issues last year with a foreign substance. Apparently, all these pitchers do it, some kind of gel or some kind of just tacky substance. You know, some people back in the days, they used to cut the ball and they used to do all kinds of things. Now, especially
right.
in the cold weather, they're saying some of it is just to grip the ball. Your hands get dry
right.
and it's cold and
maybe
you
a little
want
Vaseline.
A better grip. Yeah, better feel.
What
did
you think about Tanaka so far? I mean, he didn't get a decision last game, but had 10 strikeouts. He's looking pretty good. Adam Jones was like, oh, I'm supposed to be impressed that I faced, you know. It's weird. Adam Jones seems a little ornery this year for the Orioles. He was kind of like, you know, he's been calling out some people. But I thought, even though they lost.
He was calling out the fans at Yankee Stadium that ran on the stadium. I didn't have a problem with
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. No, no. He said the thing about Tanaka, too. He was like, what, I'm supposed to be impressed? You know, he's just another pitcher. I'm supposed to go home and be like, oh, wow, I faced Tanaka?
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, they hyped him up because the guy was 24-0 in Japan. Look,
but he's looking good, though.
He's looking pretty good. He had a couple tough innings in the beginning of each of his first two starts, and then
right,
he really settled down. So when he settles down, he's good. He's a cross between, you know, a couple of Japanese pitchers like Daisuke Matsuzaka and Yu Darvish. He can bring it, and he also has maybe five or six pitches. So this guy has this whole arsenal, and, you know, not since the days of Mike Mussina have the Yankees had a guy that's got so many pitches. But sometimes you get too cute when you have all those pitches. You know, it's almost you almost love the guys that just fastball changeup, right, or fastball curve, or cutter,
right.
Cutter and a slider. That's it. But sometimes you get a little too cute when you have too many pitches. But we'll see. So far, so good from Pineda and Tanaka. So I'm worried about CeCe Sabathia, and I'm worried
about
Marcus
Scherer. It'll be all right. He got a win. You know what's interesting, though? How about the Milwaukee Brewers starting out 7-2? And, you know, Braun had that big game the other day with the three homers. The Nats are 7-2. You know, Oakland A's are playing pretty good. And in the West, you know, you got the Dodgers who, you know, obviously with the early games in Australia, they're jumping out to a little bit of a lead out there in the NL West. I hope they don't just completely, you know, like run away with it. I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, the Giants are right there with them. Maybe the Giants can, you know, hold it together this year. I'm worried about the D-backs, though, because they, you know, they're looking like they might have a rough season this year. I don't know.
Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. It's still a long I don't think San Francisco's much better than a 500 team. So really, you just have to worry about the Dodgers if you're a Diamondbacks fan. I got to think that Colorado will be good. San Diego will be terrible. So really, you know, that division, that NL West isn't too bad. Milwaukee, you mentioned, I think they'll come back to earth. I just don't think their pitching is really that good. They've got, sort of second and third starters throughout their rotation, but they don't really have an ace. We thought for a while that Matt Garza or maybe a couple of the guys that they have on their staff could become like a Yovani Gallardo could become a real number one, but I'm not sure. So to me, you know, Ryan Braun now, there's no protection really in the lineup for him. Corey Hart's gone, Fielder's gone, so his numbers will come back to earth as well, and all that scrutiny on them. So I'm not that worried about Milwaukee.
You know who's alive though? Real quick to cut you off, you know who's looking alive again? Hamilton and Pujols. Pujols had a couple of homers. You know, I mean, Angels are only 4-5, 4-6, but still, it seems like their bats are starting to wake up, and that's a good sign, I think, for Angel fans. We both said, and I really think their issue will be the pitching, but it's good to see, those guys sort of get the stick going again.
Yeah, you know, I don't even want to say the word steroids, so I won't, but you don't just lose MVP talent. You know, this guy Pujols had the first 9 years were up there with Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. So you hurt your foot, okay, you have this nagging injury, fine, but you don't lose your Hall of Fame talent. You know, he's not 50. He's in his early 30s or mid-30s, and same with Josh Hamilton. He's still a young guy, so I'm not surprised at all that they haven't fallen off a cliff. I'm hoping that our boy, Mark Teixeira, somehow gets his game back and doesn't continue his slide.
Where you at is what we need to ask.
Oh, big Mark. Yankee fans could use a little Mark Teixeira return.
A little boost?
Yeah, a little boost.
A little boost from your boy. So, you ready, man? I think we got to talk some hoops. I mean, for me right now, last night was fascinating. The two games on TNT, you had the Spurs 9-point win over the Mavs, and the Mavs are sort of, you know, battling. They were in the seventh spot battling with Phoenix and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies took care of Miami Heat the other night. That was a great game. And then in the second game after the Spurs won, and that team, man, whether it's Leonard, whatever, no Parker, doesn't matter, Bellinelli and Ginobili playing the guards, They're just so versatile. They find a way. Big Timmy looked like he got hurt, but then he turns out he's okay. They're deadly. You know, they don't play so good against the top teams. I think they're like 2-8 against the Thunder and Clippers in the West, but the Spurs are deadly. And then the Warriors lose a nail-biter. Your boy Kenneth Faried. And this is something I talked to you about off-air, but to me, at least once a week, if not every other week, between ESPN, TNT, NBA TV, the Denver Nuggets seem to be on TV like every time I turn around. So the Nuggets were on again And they give free credit. And our man, Timofey Mozgov, 23 and 29. That's a season high and a career high for him, but season high in the NBA, 29 rebounds. Former Knicks.
The Carmelo trade.
That's right, but give Fareed credit, hits the bucket with 0.5 left after Curry had come down and did his thing, and the Warriors have not clinched the playoff spot yet, and the Nuggets still fighting with all these injuries and everything. I guess you got to give Brian Shaw some credit that he's got his guys, you know, in the last 2 weeks of the season playing hard and only got like eight men on the roster active, so they're balling hard. I thought that was a nice win. But Are you concerned? If you were a Warrior fan, are you sort of concerned about this team at all going into the playoffs?
Yes. Now, they can beat the Clippers, right? I'm not saying they can't, but
right. They
were just thoroughly outmanned up front. And we know they can shoot. And really, last night, only Klay Thompson and Steph Curry had good games. And they were just thoroughly crushed down low, and Kenneth Faried just had his way. And the problem for them is that Clipper team is a bad matchup, right? So the Clippers have a lot of size, and the Clippers have wing athletes, and the Clippers can run with Golden State. So Golden State, you feel like, would rather play anybody else but the Clippers. Maybe Clippers and Oklahoma City are their two worst matchups potentially. So this is a bad matchup. Now, I don't want to sound like the doomsday naysayer, but if the Clippers beat them 4-1, I think the team gets blown up. I think Mark Jackson gets fired. And I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying Jerry West didn't love him from the beginning. And
yeah,
they had some beef
with Mark and the ownership or the GM or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
I think Mark Jackson gets fired, and that lineup gets shaken up. And they get some maybe they get some more traditional role players in there, some guys that play a little more defense. I don't know.
Well,
they got
Iguodala. I think the issue is Barnes. I don't know if they should have acquired Iguodala. Barnes, I think his development was stunted a little bit because I think he needs to get those minutes, and I think he's good enough that he could be a two-way player. And I think he's more talented than Iguodala, to be honest with you, in terms of potential, what he can do. That team is interesting, and a lot of injuries. They don't stay healthy. And I think Klay Thompson is too sometimesy. He'll drop 25, but then the next game he's got 8 or 11, and he's not involved in the game. And so, to me, it's Curry, David Lee, you know, is very solid. Bogut has been solid when he's there, but he hasn't played a whole season in for like ever. I think the Western Conference, though, is fascinating to me because right now Dallas at 8, and they play two more games than Memphis. They only have two games left. Memphis has got it in their own hands, though, because Monday they play Phoenix and then they play Dallas, I think the last game of the season. So Memphis, you know, they've got a shot to, you know, take over at least maybe Dallas. Phoenix with the 7th seed, you know, they only have 31 losses. The other two teams have 32 losses. Maybe Phoenix can hold on, and obviously they have a big chance when they play Memphis. If they win that Memphis game, they're pretty much going to be assured a spot in the playoffs, probably at the 7th seed. So, you know, kudos to them. I think it's kind of interesting because they're only one game really behind Golden State. Golden State's 48 and 30, and they're 47 and 31. So, you know, the Suns have really been pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a surprise team of
the
year. I mean, you talk about surprise team of the year, coach of the year. You usually give it to somebody who finishes, let's say, top three in the conference.
Yeah, I could give it to Jeff this year. You really could.
Yeah.
Nobody expected that.
Well, so I would say Golden State's a disappointment. Phoenix is a pleasant surprise. Toronto's a pleasant surprise. Chicago's a pleasant surprise.
And Charlotte.
Does have talent. And
the
Charlotte.
Bobcats are the number 6 seed, baby. They're not 7 anymore, Ray. They are 6. So it looks like the Bobcats will play. I mean, although they're only
They're tied. They're in a flat foot.
They're tied,
40
and 38,
but
percentage points. But can you imagine if they knock down and get the 6 seed? That's Bobcats against the Raptors.
No, I don't think they can. I think, they're 3 back in the loss column from Brooklyn. They won't catch Brooklyn.
No, I'm saying to get the 6 seed. The Bobcats can get the 6th seed. And Washington
Bobcats, 7th. Oh, I thought you meant the 5th seed. No, no, right now they're in a straight-up tie with Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah,
two games left.
They'll either be 6 or 7, for sure.
That's with four games left for both of them.
6 is huge, though, because that's the difference between Toronto and Miami.
So it's really huge.
You definitely want to be 6. So if you're them or Washington...
Wait, so you're giving Indiana the number one seed? I mean, tonight, what are they playing? In Miami, right? So
it's
I think,
because it looks like Miami
doesn't,
the number one seed.
Well, but listen, would you... In the second round, they don't want to play Brooklyn or Chicago. I think Miami's smart. They realize that, like, yo, we're 0-4 against Brooklyn this year.
No,
I think that's the reality.
They're scared of Brooklyn.
They're scared of Brooklyn.
Hold on, we got a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, Ray and Tay. It's old Luke. What's going on?
Hey,
what's going on? What's up, Warren? What's the deal, man?
I'm good. Hey, I'm talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Man, it's Brooklyn. You better be a little bit fearful of them. Although I don't know how far they're going to really go, but, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Can Brooklyn get out of the first round in a battle against Chicago? Like last year, you know, what you saw what happened with our little guy, Nate Robinson, ate him up. But this year with Noah and the gang, can the Bulls beat the Nets? Or do the Nets survive and then go upset the Pacers?
I think it really depends on if KG can act like he can play again a little bit. I think that I think they can beat him. I think it'll be a tough series, but I think I got them coming out a little bit of ahead because you know, it's about time for Noah to start complaining about his foot sooner or later.
I love it. So let me ask you. I just said this to Ray, and I think it might be true. The Miami Heat a little shook, Daddy. They don't want to play. You know, maybe they want to just lose to Indiana and get the 2 seed because they're kind of banged up. You can't rely on Dwayne Wade, and I think the Big Three might break up after this year because of the fact that LeBron can't rely on Wade anymore. But do you think that maybe they want the 2 seed so in the second round the Miami Heat don't have to play the Brooklyn Nets and they could go ahead and beat up on Toronto or Charlotte or somebody?
I don't think they – I really don't think they're trying to get the 2 seed. I just think they're getting beat. You know, I just think that's what comes down. They're getting beat right now. And, you can see LeBron looking mad when he's going up there getting blocked at the end. But
– Oh, yeah. Well, Plumlee fouled him on that. We gotta be honest. Plumlee did foul him, but it was a great play.
Your hand's part of the ball, baby.
So, let me ask you this. Do you think the Pacers, all talk, no action, do you think they sort of they put their foot in their mouth and their team is kind of falling apart at the end of the season? Or do you think they'll get it back together?
I think they'll get it back together because they
Yeah, I think we got you in a bad spot.
So we're having
spot.
A little technical spot. Yeah,
might be losing you.
Cellular technology, it's not working with us. But I tell you what, the Pacers, to me, this is the game, right? If the Pacers win this game, then they essentially have won the East. And that was their goal. Their goal was to be the number one seed in the East, to have home court advantage, and then to win a Game 7 or a Game 6 in their house against the Heat. So this game tonight is huge for the Pacers. It's huge for the franchise. It's huge for their psyche.
Right.
Even though they're 3-7 in their last 10, these guys really, really want that number one seed. And so, hold on, I think we got our caller back. Let's see. Oren, you back
Hello?
With us?
Yeah, I'm back here.
All right, good.
So, do you think the Pacers – first of all, I think Frank Vogel was smart the other night against the Bucks, resting his guys, and they still got the win. Let Evan Turner
– bench.
Yeah, with their bench. I feel bad for the Bucks. I mean, it's – look, we'll see what they get in the lottery. But I think this would be – this would change everything for them if they get the number one seed and they beat the Heat tonight. This is going to be a bloodbath. The Heat-Pacers is an official rivalry to me, and I think tonight can go a long way in solidifying that. That the Pacers win this game, fight through the playoffs, you know, beat whether it's the Bulls or the Nets in the second round, and then you'll be looking to possibly a Game 7 in Indiana against Miami and the Pacers, and Oren, who would you go with? Do you think the Pacers actually can beat the Heat this year?
I think they can. I think they really can. I think that even when Wade comes back, his health, they're going to be beating on him. So it's going to be, how can he hold up through a whole series with them? And then also the other teams they got to go through to get to them. I just think they fresher legs, mental with them. They got the skill set to do it, but they just got to get in that mind state to really go at them really hard and bang them on the inside, because that's where the Heat the weakest at.
Well, that's true, and you know, and that's a reason why teams don't three-peat. And we still have a team, this Heat team, if they were to three-peat, that means they will have gone to the finals four straight years. And that's a team that still doesn't have any size. So everybody knows their weakness. It's just that people can't exploit it. Indiana maybe is that one team that has size and is big enough, especially in the East, that can really take it to the Heat.
And a deep enough bench that they can get into foul trouble, have subs come in, and really work LeBron and Bosch. I think, to me, Bosch is always the key when you get to these bigger series. And even though he disappeared Game 7 against the Spurs last year, I think Bosch, to me, is the key for the Heat. And he's got to stop playing like a shooting guard. Stop shooting those daggone three-pointers. Get your funny-looking face inside. Crash some boards, and I give him props, right? Bosch, you know, he comes through in the clutch. He'll hit the three, he'll get the rebound, but he's got to, you know, Bosch has got to put up some games against the Heat, I mean, against the Pacers, where he's like, you know, get us 18 points and get 13 rebounds, and that's the way that the Heat can win it again. I look forward to it, but I just don't know if the Pacers are ready to do it. It depends to me on what Turner can do off the bench. And if they get anything out of Bynum
could
be the difference.
What's your thoughts on the West? You like San Antonio, Oklahoma City, the Clippers? You got any upsets? What are you thinking about on the West in the Western Conference playoffs?
I see the Clippers being I think this year maybe a year they may do a little bit of make a little bit more noise than they have been. It all depends on Chris Paul coming back and really being aggressive.
And hitting those free throws. Everybody's scared that those big men can't shoot free throws. But if they can, and if they hit, you know, because they're scared of not being able to play in the fourth quarter, being able to play, you know, DeAndre and Blake
Griffin.
Yeah.
I think they might be ready. I think you might be right there, Warren.
In the beginning of the season, going to the finals. I have the Clippers going to the finals in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, me too. So I think they're ready. I think Durant is MVP, but the one thing I would say, in any other year, if it wasn't LeBron or Durant, Blake Griffin's been the MVP this season. He's had a monster season, and no one roots for injuries, but when Chris Paul got hurt and went down and Redick was out, it was Blake Griffin and Crawford, but mainly Blake Griffin, who carried that team, and it was quite impressive, and I think it gave him confidence. So we'll see what happens in the playoffs, but I think teams, their strategy will be in that second round at Western Conference semifinals, Thunder and Clippers, you know, will go face-to-face. Let's see if Ibaka and Perkins and them, young Steven Adams, who had the crazy ill dunk the other night, if they can frustrate Griffin and try to get him off his game. But I think the Clippers could do it. But, you know, you never know. If Durant scores 50 and Westbrook scores 40, I don't know what the Clippers can do, you know.
I think the acquisition has been good. Barnes is a big pickup for them, where, you know, he can do a lot of things for them. And then you got to – I just think that right now, with also the coaching, they're ready. I think this is their time to really to do something.
And don't forget Turkoglu and Granger. Turkoglu from three. So, all right, thanks for calling, man. Keep on listening.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
All right, keep doing good things. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. So that's great, man. You know, I think that's what you need to hear. Brooklyn guys calling in, representing for, you know, Oren's in D.C. now, but he's a Brooklyn guy calling for his Nets. You know, another friend of the show, Ricky, he's a big Brooklyn guy. You know, these guys, everybody is so happy to have a team. And I think, you know, too bad Lopez is out, because, you know, if Garnett and Pierce, who I think are veteran scorers, and Kirilenko, and everybody's healthy, they're going to be a little dangerous in the playoffs, and I think that they could push the Heat to seven games if you want to know the truth in that second
Here's something for the Pacers.
Uh-huh.
Here's something for you. We might have to give Jason Kidd the Bob Melvin Award because this dude was about to get fired after a month or two. He
and
had that whole issue
great.
With Lawrence Frank, and now he's a candidate for Coach of the Year. His
best
team is
record
playing
after the All-Star break, right? Yeah,
right after, yeah,
really...
starting in January, probably right before the All-Star break. These guys are playing great. So Jason Kidd turned it around, got his hands dirty, got in there, and took charge of his team. You know, I don't know what happened between he and Lawrence Frank, but they
well, give him
you know,
credit. He said Garnett was the key. He said Garnett being a professional and coming to practice every day and sort of not wavering, and that's what you need. I don't think you could put a price on a Garnett or a Pierce. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, I think they'll get past Chicago this year. And I think, you know, even though Chicago's got all that size, I think that Brooklyn is going to have enough to give, you know, if the Pacers get the number one seed or the Heat, at least push them to seven games in that Eastern Conference semifinals and give the Eastern Conference playoffs a little bit of juice, you know. And I think Toronto can win a game against Miami or whoever, you know, whoever they play, you know, in that 2-3 matchup. Look, the playoffs are going to be fun. It's a stretch run. You know, we're Knick guys, so at 33-45, and, you know, Knicks had the whole week off. They played the Raptors tonight. You know, you like to see the Knicks go out strong and win the rest of their games. You know, obviously, you know, Atlanta is pretty much all but wrapped up that eighth spot, and that's a little heartbreaking. But, you know, it's really a two-game swing that they can't really overcome. And that Washington loss and then the Heat loss last weekend, Friday and Sunday, is really, you know, it just buried the Knicks. It buried them bad. And maybe Melo's healthy. Maybe at least if the Knicks went out, that would make you feel good. You know, it's been an ugly season. But
the Knicks are not relevant until 2015. So just save your energy, save your heartbreak, save your emotions.
It's funny, the Denver team with all the injuries has a better record than the Knicks this year. 35-44.
In the Western Conference, no less.
That's crazy.
Right?
If you would have told somebody that after that trade. Yeah, that's big. So let's give, before we wrap up the NBA, let's give Phoenix some props here, the seventh seed. And, you know, who knows if they could catch Golden State. I mean, what can they do in the playoffs? Obviously, I mean, seven, they'd have to play the Thunder in that first round, which is just gruesome.
Better matchup? Let's think. If you're a Phoenix Suns fan, would you rather play the Thunder or would you rather play the Clippers? I mean, they each present different.
Or even drop to number eight and play the Spurs.
Or even drop to eight and play San Antonio.
I'd rather play the Spurs.
I would say San Antonio, yeah, sure.
Just because Parker's back. Listen, let's be honest, right? Memphis is, you know, did it, what, 2 years ago? They upset them in the 8-1 matchup. And I think as much as the Spurs can score from anywhere on the floor and you just love Pop and the offense, I think the Spurs are funny, right? They can either go to the finals or they could lose in the first round. And you can't say that about every team. But I think the Spurs are in that position just because you don't know how healthy Duncan and Parker are going to be, you know, going into these playoffs. And I think Phoenix fans are going to be happy just winning, if they can just win a game in the playoffs, because they're ahead of schedule. And having four picks and you know, salary cap room, that's going to be it's going to be exciting for them, you know, no matter what. So, hey, look, it's going to be fun, and we'll be talking NBA playoffs, you know, and I think next Friday we might have a guest, might have Ian Bailey from ESPN possibly joining us to wrap up the Knicks season and, you know, maybe look at the Nets and the playoffs and stuff. So stay tuned with us. But you know what, man? Right now, it's that time to talk about the sport that is year-round and round and round and round and never stops. And that's football. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Ray and Tay.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to
Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
That's right. Pablo Francisco telling the world where he gets his sports with Ray.
You gotta like
Tay.
That, man. Great stand-up comic. Pablo was out here in the Phoenix area, and he's from, I think, Arizona. He was out here last weekend doing comedy. Talking Stick. He's a big time comic, and been on Comedy Central and things a whole bunch of times. So thanks to Pablo for that. And we got to give a shout out to our boy Sean Savoy, who made his television debut on the Tim Meadows Gotham comedy show last week and tore it down. They had like four or five comics on, and he was the best comic that night in New York City. So props to Sean Savoy. So check him out on YouTube, S-E-A-N, Sean Savoy, and check out his comedy and stuff like that. So what's not funny is free agency, because there's a lot of money, a lot of contracts, a lot of, like you said, the guaranteed money, and the NFL contracts are funny money. But today, the offer sheet from the transition tag, the Browns have quickly already, in like 2 hours, matched the Jags contract to their center, Alex Mack. So they keep Mack and Joe Thomas, and the Browns, who still have the most salary cap space left. It's like them, the Jets, and two other teams, Bengals, and I think the Jags. They kept Alex Mack their center. So I think that's good for Hoyer or whatever rookie quarterback they draft, Ben Tate and Josh Gordon and Nate Burleson in that Browns offense. When you look at free agency, let me ask you this, right, because you got the Rams signed the least amount of players so far, three, and nine teams have signed, like around four guys. You have the top four are for signing players and sort of rebuilding their teams, 15 for the Buccaneers, the Giants and Bears 14 and the Raiders 12. That's a lot of guys, on a 53-man roster to sign 15 new guys.
Yeah, that's almost 30% of your roster.
Yeah. Do you like what Lovey's doing? And, it wasn't all big contracts. I got some small guys to fit in here and there. But do you like the Buccaneers, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Bears, those four teams who signed the most, going from 15 to 12, those four teams? Give me some thoughts on what those four teams did and saying, hey, we're going to attack. We'll do whatever in the draft, but we're going to attack strong in free agency. And can that hurt them or help them?
Well, I think they all needed to be shaken up. So the Giants are in a little bit of a rut. Remember that the Giants aren't consistently excellent. They just are excellent in the years that they win the Super Bowl, right? So they've been, and it's almost is the way Eli Manning. Oh, we need to mention that Eli Manning is going to have ankle surgery. And
oh, he already had it. Yeah,
weeks.
He's healing.
Yeah,
he had it yesterday.
Yeah,
it's,
he's out 6 weeks. They were speculating that he
hopefully
played
he'll
basketball
make it.
And he hurt it. Playing basketball, I don't know, whatever. Bottom
no,
line,
no, 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 he heard
back.
It the last game of the season. He heard it the last game of the season,
no,
and he's trying to let it
but
heal.
But he's rehabbing, and they said that he may have re-injured it pretty badly in basketball.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Look, the bottom line is he's a veteran, but you do with all of that, so your point about the turnover of the roster.
Right, and you have a new OC in Bob McAdoo.
There. Yeah, you want him to be there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the Giants had to make some changes. I think a lot of these teams have to shake it up. And to some degree, it becomes even more important when you have a veteran quarterback like Eli who's on probably the back end of his career. So
right. It's
not a Kaepernick situation where he's 20, whatever Kaepernick is, 24, 25 years old, and you'll probably – I mean, if you come up with the money, you'll have him for the next 10 years. I mean, Eli's probably got – 2, 3, 4 more years. In fact, the Giants have an opt-out clause, if I'm not mistaken, this time next year with Eli Manning.
Oh, I think so Eli's got 5 years left. If Peyton's got 2 years left, or even just one more year,
yeah,
I think
but
Eli's
I don't know
young
if,
enough.
Yeah, but I don't know if he has it at the elite level at the $16, $17, $18 million a year that they're paying him. The Giants may quietly ask him to restructure. And you need to make some changes, bring some people in, and see.
I think
it's
offensive line the main thing that they need to really still
that's true.
And
look,
do
Eli's
in the draft.
Been under duress, no offensive line, no consistent running game, so I can't get on him. But look, he led the league in interceptions again. So
yeah.
You're not going to get rid of him. So you want to change things. You want to bring in a new offensive coordinator, maybe shake up the running back situation, shore up the line. You know, they got rid of Akeem Nicks. So they're in the short term, their wide receiver situation is worse. So there's a lot
I like
of
what they did in the secondary, though.
Yeah,
to me, bringing in
good moves.
Yeah. Walter Thurman and DRC, and especially in the NFC East with RG3, Foles, with that Chip Kelly offense, and Tony Romo, you want, and just in a passing NFL league, right, for not just your division, but just the way the league is, you want some tough corners. So Walter Thurman is in the mold of those, you know, Seattle corners. You know, he plays the press. And then to get DRC, who I think can do the same and is a very, you know, athletic, talented, bigger corner, I think that's really good for the Giants because their secondary has been jacked up for a couple of years now. And, you know, no more Terrell Thomas and those guys, and Aaron Ross is somewhere else. So I think that's interesting. I think what I want to see them do in their first-round pick, I want them, and they, you know, Brandon Myers went to the Buccaneers, one of those teams that signed a bunch of players. I think they're going to draft Eric Ebron, the tight end from North Carolina. I think the big tight end, I think, is the way for them to go. Or if they could get a Taylor Lewan from Michigan in the offensive line. So I think the Giants will probably early on, the first two picks, you know, get O-line and, you know, get a tight end, and I think that's the way to go. What about looking at a team, though, like the Raiders? Did you like them signing these veteran contracts? And I guess the pressure was for Allen and the GM, right, to be competitive now, and then they'll sort of have to rebuild again in 2 years. But do you like that strategy? Because you let go, like, young talent.
I don't know.
Let
go of Houston, which to me was a big
crazy
question mark. And then they bring in Jason. They bring in Tuck
and Woodley.
So they bring in some older guys. When in fact, I thought they should have kept Houston. And then, I guess it depends on this draft. I mean, if they can come out of this draft with Sammy Watkins, who I think is the player that deep down they covet, unless one of the quarterbacks suddenly they change their mind. Maybe they start the new youth movement. I mean, they like Rashard Jennings. Darren McFadden's too
interesting. Rashard Jennings is with the Giants now.
Yeah, I mean, they liked him. That's what, they liked him last year as the boost that he gave him coming over from Jacksonville. But they ended up sticking with the wildly, I want to say inconsistent.
McFadden.
It's hurt all the time, Darren McFadden.
But maybe MJD gets rejuvenates his career.
Actually think that's one of the top, you know, if they both are healthy, that's a top three or four, you know, running back tandem. I mean, each one is, they complement each other, right? Their skills complement each other. So, look, I just think Oakland's a mess. They're not going anywhere until they find
Raider
an anchor
Nation
of their offense and an anchor of their defense. And maybe that's Sammy Watkins. Maybe that's Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater.
Do you like Schaub? Bringing over the veteran from
I think,
you know,
he's
the Texans,
fine,
Russia?
Especially if they were to get Sammy Watkins. I think they could get 2-3 years out of Matt Schaub, and then, you know, in 3 years' time, get themselves a franchise quarterback.
And maybe draft. Well, they don't like Pryor or McGloin, so maybe in the second or third round, they don't have many draft picks. But maybe they will take.
Maybe they get a car in the beginning of the second round.
Well,
if they
or
back
maybe
up at the end of the first.
You know who I like? I think potential is LSU kid. Mettenberger had a good pro day. Yeah, Mettenberg. And also I like Aaron Murray from Georgia. I think he's a gunslinger. They both are coming off injuries, but I think they're both looking good. I like Logan Thomas as well. There's some quarterbacks out there. This year, wide receiver and quarterback are pretty deep. You know what I find interesting? Nobody cares about this, but Johnny Manziel scored highest of the quarterbacks on the Wunderlich test. So what does that say about people who want to rip Johnny Manziel? Maybe he'd be quick on the on the learning curve, and maybe that's something good for him. I don't know. You know, everybody's he's out there partying.
It can't be bad.
Right. It can't be bad.
Although we still think that, you know, what's the relationship between a test, an aptitude test on paper, and reading a defense? I'm not sure.
Sure
the Wunderlich test is even any kind of indicator of how well you'll do in the pros. So
or worth the paper that it's written on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Two things, though, before we talk about our top five free agents. I got to ask you this. Are you disappointed if you're a Panther fan or a Ram fan? Rams only signed three guys, didn't do much in free agency. And the Panthers, they let all their guys go. I mean, now, granted, they did keep Hardy, which was smart. But they lose Mitchell on defense. They lose the captain, Captain Meterling. They also lose all the receivers. So they just signed Jason Avant and Jericho Cotchery. Are you satisfied? Obviously, in the first round, everyone thinks they should draft a wide receiver. So, you know, Cam, coming off ankle surgery as well, needs a receiver, needs some guys to go with, because I think Avant and Cotchery are sort of little, and neither one of them can, you know, stretch the field crazily. And you still got Olsen. But the question is, do they wait down to 20, whatever they pick, and draft a receiver there, and maybe they get, you know, Beckham from LSU or Brandon Cooks from Oregon State? Or do the Panthers take a shot and trade up, and you go try to get your Mike Evans or Sammy Watkins? What do you think about that?
I think it would cost too much.
The
Panthers, I'm not sure that they have enough gunpowder to go all the way up there to get Sammy Watkins. I don't do it to get Mike Evans. I don't think Mike Evans is – I don't think he's
right,
going to be
Sammy.
Vincent Jackson. I mean, I think he's going to be a solid player. I don't know that he'll be a star. I think Sammy Watkins is a star. Sammy Watkins is sort of the bigger version, bigger size-wise, not height, but
right,
fuller, thicker version of A.J. Green. I mean, he could be that good. I think he's fantastic.
So then do the Rams definitely take him at two, or do they go to Greg Robinson? Because that's the other question. When you're looking at receiver, we talked about the Panthers, but the Rams are the other team that, guess what, Sam Bradford, he needs somebody to throw to. And Tavon Austin and, you know, Jared Cook at tight end and you know, the trio of backs they have, you know, it's just not enough.
He also
Chris
needs
Givens
somebody
hasn't
to protect him, though. So
well,
one
yeah,
school
so
of thought is trade down to 4 or 5 and basically.
But they have 2
Robinson
and 13. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah,
do you,
but
or maybe you take Robinson at 13, you get Mike Evans, hopefully, if he lasts, or take
yeah,
another receiver.
Maybe get Robinson at 4 yeah, and, you know, maybe trade down, get another pick in the round. I mean, the problem with St. Louis is they still have
they
Sam Bradford on that old rookie contract, right, before
yeah,
the rookie salary cap was limited for quarterbacks. So they're still
right,
paying him an obscene amount of money. They need to figure out if he's the guy. They need to figure out real fast. So they must get themselves a really solid offensive lineman. Now, if it's Greg Robinson at 2, I don't know. But I would like Greg Robinson at 5, or maybe somebody, you know, late first round. If somebody projects that high, like Tyler Lewin at from Michigan, I'm not sure. But they do need to finally give a decent offensive line to Sam Bradford. Now they also got to give him receivers because he hasn't been throwing to anybody. And I
right,
hated that pick last year. I mean, look, the jury's still out, but I'm not into a 5'8 receiver being your number one receiver. So
right,
the kid
played well
kid
towards the end of the season, though. Be fair, he was explosive
yeah,
towards the end of the
and
season.
And it's too young, to write off. So you still got to give him 2 more years. But he's not going to
hey,
be a number one receiver.
And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because guess what? The Panthers, they need a left tackle because Jordan Gross retired. So you know, not only do they need another receiver, but they need an offensive lineman as well. You know, so but let's talk about it. Our top five segment. Let's look at the top free agent signings of all time.
Top
and
five,
to
five,
me, I think you'd have to, you know, if we go to 5 and build it up to 1, right there at 5 and maybe even honorable mention, I'd have to look at, if I'm being fair, I'd have to look at Peyton Manning because I think he is on the verge of an AFC championship, a Super Bowl, and then maybe winning a Super Bowl. So to me, Manning could be right there, 5 or 4, but I think Manning, to me, it's not written yet, but I would say right now, Manning, and then right with it, you know, Charles Woodson going to Green Bay, you know, leaving the Raiders, going to the Packers, and winning a Super Bowl with the Packers against my Steelers, which was brutal. That was in 06. He went over there, and then they won, what, 2 years later in 08?
I would
and,
have to I would have to agree that Peyton Manning, it's very rare that you can get a three-time MVP coming to you. Actually, no, he was a four-time MVP, and then he won the MVP now, so he's five-time MVP.
I think so. Because, yeah, he tied that one year with McNair.
Yeah, so before you even look up, you've got a guy with four MVPs comes over to your team, and if it weren't for a gap on defense, they probably should have been to two straight Super Bowls. You just don't get these kind of guys. These kind of guys get locked up for 10 years on their current team. Now, between the neck injury and his $24 million cap number, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So
right.
If he were to win a Super Bowl, he'll move up this list. But right now, I agree, he's got to be at five. He's got to be at the bottom of this list, bottom of the
top five. Definitely, with room to grow. So
yeah, for sure.
Who would you probably place at four? This is,
four.
I was just going to say real quick, in our hearts, we'd have to throw, Curtis Martin, yo. Do you remember that? 1990, what was it, 8, when he left the Patriots with the tuna and came over to the Jets, and then the Jets lost to the Broncos. Vinny Testaverde in
the
AFC Championship.
Yeah.
Oh, Curtis was great, though, as a Jet. That's right, and that's what I mean. So that would be an honorable mention. He was great as a Jet. But so go ahead. Who would you have it for?
And he went to the Hall of Fame
to...
as a Jet, right, because you don't really remember. He also went to the Super Bowl and lost in 96 with the Patriots. But really you remember
right,
him as a workhorse
kid
for the Jets.
Yeah.
So I would say number four would have to be Kurt Warner because he was a Super Bowl – to get a Super Bowl champ, to bring him over, to go – he didn't win the Super Bowl with you – but to go to Arizona after struggling in New York, right? He was backing up Eli, was supposed to teach Eli, going back and forth. So people had written him off, and he takes you to the Super Bowl. You lose if it weren't
and
for
the remember
Super
he had a battle
Bowls.
With Matt Leiner from USC. Remember that whole debate? That's what
he
made it so
like,
great.
I'm not here to teach Matt Leinart. I'm here to take this team. And he ended up taking him. And if it weren't for Santonio Holmes' his twinkle toes – he could have won
another Super Bowl.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and remember that great playoff win over the Packers and that shootout, Aaron Rodgers and Kurt Warner. Yeah, Kurt Warner, to me, you're right, is definitely – that was amazing and I thought was great. At number three, I'd have to go – because he really was a free agent twice. I'd have to go with Prime time. Deion Sanders, 94 with the Niners. Now, look, he's a Falcon. Everyone knows he was a Falcon, and that's the Georgia Dome, like he says, the house that I built. But to go in the Super Bowl with the Niners and then, you know, and then to go and then also win in 95 to go over with the Cowboys, I think Deion definitely was, you know, not only one of the best, probably the best corner ever, but one of the best players and most exciting players ever. This guy also played baseball for the Braves and the Yankees, so let's keep it real for people who don't know how great Deion was. I mean, he was amazing. He won a World Series too, right? Didn't he win a World Series? Was he on that Braves team that won a World Series?
In 91? No, I don't. Was he on the team that won the World Series? I know he went to the World Series. Yeah, maybe he won it. We got to check on that.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Deion won a World Series,
but the thing
too.
With Deion, which was great, is that you know, as much as he was flash, he was also substance. I mean, he led defensive coordinators recreate the defense by shutting down half the field. They just said, Deion's not that guy. So I can basically go 10 people on one side of the field and just let Deion be on an island. And, he, like you said, he won Super Bowls with two different teams and was a very integral part of their defense. And, you know, and Dallas even played him on offense a little bit too. And the third thing is that he was a great teammate. Everybody loved him. Everybody said he came to practice. He worked hard. As much as he was Hollywood, you know, in the press, he wasn't a prima donna. He actually practiced.
I remember he helped the Niners get over the hump of the Cowboys because they had just won a couple. And then in 95, the Cowboys came back with Switzer and beat my Steelers. Oh, that was a heartbreaker.
Yes.
So then number
Larry
two.
Larry Brown.
Don't talk about it. Neil O'Donnell gave you the gift. But at number two, without a doubt, Drew Brees, 2006, coming back, helping New Orleans bounce back and fix the whole city, winning the Super Bowl, just the stats, the records that he's put up. I think without a doubt, you got to say Drew Brees has been an amazing, and he left the Chargers and been amazing for the Saints. And then who would you have at number one?
I got to say, the number one free agent of all time. This is when free agency really started
in the
NFL.
The first free agent, yeah.
And the first major impactful free agent. They hadn't won a Super Bowl in forever, since Super Bowl II. And then, now granted they had Brett Favre, but they really, really got over the hump with Reggie White. And Reggie White was an unbelievable defensive anchor coming over from Philly. And this guy, we didn't even know. We knew he was good, but we didn't even know he was this good. He just dominated and maybe became the best, you know, defensive end of all time right in front of our eyes, and brought the Super Bowl to Green Bay in 96.
Yeah.
And then they lost the next year to Denver. We forgot how good Denver was.
Yeah.
Or we learned how good Denver was.
Terrell Davis. Yeah.
Terrell Davis had to join John Elway to go
win
a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Reggie White.
Reggie,
really
the minister of defense. You got to like that. And he would, when he would come and hit offensive line, but he'd be like, here comes the Lord. Reggie was something else, man. God bless his soul. I mean, NFL Network's done some great stories about that Eagle team when Reggie was there with the Eagles with Brown, Mike Golic, and, you know, after Brown died and stuff. And just that Eagles defense of Buddy Ryan and Randall Cunningham and Chris Carter, all those guys. So, yeah, Reggie White, man, that's without a doubt the top free agent signing of all time. So that's it, man. I think, you know, obviously there's, you know, other great ones. I think Shannon Sharpe was a good one over the years.
The Woodson twins. I mean, not that they're twins, but...
Well, Rod
Woodson,
yeah.
Yeah.
Rod Woodson signing with the Ravens because he
absolutely
won a Super Bowl as well.
Shannon Sharpe, sorry, like you
said,
tight end, also with that same Ravens team. So there's some good ones.
So,
you know, there are definitely some good ones that maybe didn't turn a franchise around, but, you know, Rich Gannon took the Raiders to the Super Bowl.
Yes, Rich Gannon was
you know,
big.
Kevin Mawai anchored the Jets for a long time. Holmes, somebody that nobody really knew about for years in Baltimore, came to Kansas City, and until he got hurt, was just a devastating, devastating player.
That's the
Your
early days
James.
Of fantasy football. Priest Holmes was the beast, yo.
Oh,
and Joe
yeah.
Montana, although I don't think he was a free agent, it was a trade in offseason.
No,
but
it was
going,
a trade, yeah.
Yeah, it was a trade. But going from the Niners to the Chiefs, boy, did he give the Chiefs a lot of hope, but they just couldn't get over the hump. So, well, it's been fun. We will obviously, you know, we will break it down. It's been a good week of sports, Good Friday. Watch these games tonight, NBA playoffs. There's only like 4 games left for most teams. You know, some teams only have 2 and 3 left, but season ends next week, and we'll be back on Monday to wrap
Indiana
it up for you.
Completes its mission. Number one seed
is
up for grabs tonight.
A huge game tonight. Heat Pacers. You can't get much better than that. So, and we'll see if any of these free agents turn out to be a top, you know, maybe Darrell Revis puts the Patriots back in the Super Bowl. You know, you just never know what could be, you know, the big free agent signing. You know, Jarius Byrd with the Saints. You know, maybe he gets them back with the defensive side. Who knows? Anyway, great show, and we'll be back Monday. So,
no doubt.
Thanks for listening.
Have a great sports weekend. We'll see you on Monday. We'll be on a little early on Monday, but come check
Eastern.
Us out probably 3 o'clock Eastern.
Yep, thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace. Ray and Tate.